Today, let's paper over the cracks for a Santa rally. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and then in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. This past week, the last full week before the holidays, continued its volatile way, with central banks in Japan and the UK cutting rates, the US triple witching, where an estimated $7.1 trillion of options was set to expire, and funky economic data, more like Swiss cheese than real, all mixing things up. And we had the continued speculation about the future value of AI, or not, with its demands for funding and power center of mind, as well as concerns over trade and tariffs, and whether commodities have reached too far, all playing in. But traders are papering over the cracks, hoping for a Santa rally regardless. In the end, MSCI's global equities gauge advanced on Friday up 0.72%, though it was slightly lower for the week, while the Stoxx 600 in Europe lifted 1.6% across the week to another record after the ECB held rates, while technology led Wall Street higher, with the S&P 500 up 0.88% on Friday and positive a net 0.1% across the week, while the NASDAQ rose 1.31% on Friday alone for a 0.48% lift for the week, reflecting a weaker than many expected Santa rally. Since 1928, the S&P 500 has risen 75% of the time in the last 2 weeks of December, rising 1.3% on average, according to recent data. And it's also worth noting just how much leverage there is in the system at the moment and what that could do to volatility in markets ahead. So there are some signs below the waterline of significant pressures, which again could well put a lid on that Santa rally. The ASX 200 closed 0.5% higher, with 8 of 11 sectors in positive territory. For the week, though, the benchmark fell 0.8%, snapping a three-week winning streak. This index looks set to post a 5.8% annual rise, which is well below the double-digit gains for the US and European indices. That's because, of course, we have less technology in Australia in the index. Oil prices rose as traders weighed the potential impact of a supply disruption from Venezuela, while gold futures were up another 1.36% across the week, while silver rose another hot 8.84%, but Bitcoin remained range-bound in volatile trade. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.38% on Friday to 48,134, the S&P 500 rose 0.88% to 6,834, and the Nasdaq Composite rose 1.31% to 23,307 for the week. The S&P gained 0.11%, the Nasdaq rose 0.48%, and the Dow, though, fell 0.67%. Technology shares were back in fashion as investors were encouraged by a strong financial outlook from Micron Technology on Wednesday, ending the day up 7% on Friday. Oracle was up 6.6% after TikTok's Chinese-owned ByteDance signed binding agreements to hand control of the short-form video app's US operations to a group of investors, including the cloud computing giant, but continues to struggle with more focus on its AI-related debt, while Nvidia was 3.93% higher as the US launched a review that could potentially lead to the first shipments to China of Nvidia's second most powerful AI chips. Nvidia's valuation relative to the semiconductor stock exchange semiconductor index has rarely been so attractive, and the multiple overall augurs well for future returns, according to Bernstein. Five of the Magnificent Seven entered in positive territory, but Tesla slipped 0.5% and Meta fell 0.9%. In the note detailing 10-year ahead predictions, Wedbush Securities' Dan Ives said he expects tech stocks to rise more than 20% in 2026 as the so-called second, third, and fourth derivatives around the AI revolution take shape across software, chips, infrastructure. But others are more concerned about energy demand, with the shocking comparisons between China and the EU and the US in terms of capacity growth, which may push broader energy costs significantly higher, especially in the US ahead. Michigan regulations unanimously approved a request from utility DTE Energy to power a massive data center development planned by Oracle and OpenAI during a contentious hearing. This will be first of many, I think. Other AI-linked stocks followed Oracle higher on Friday, with CoreWeave among the biggest gainers. The Citi said the stock could double from current levels, while the cloud infrastructure company also announced that it had joined the Department of Energy's efforts advance U.S. research and innovation. In consumer names, Nike shares slumped 10.5% after the sportswear giant reported a drop in gross margins for the second consecutive quarter, hurt by poor sales in China and efforts to reset its product mix. On the U.S. data front, existing home sales rose just marginally in November as economic uncertainty and still elevated mortgage rates curbed demand. University of Michigan's survey of consumer sentiment came in lower than consensus estimates, but above the November value, up 1.9 points to 52.9. Consumers expect prices to rise at an annual rate of 4.2% over the next year. That's almost a one-year low. And they saw costs rising at an annual rate of 3.2% over the next 5 to 10 years. But other surveys were less positive. On Thursday, we got a frankly silly read on consumer price inflation, which came in at a low 2.7%, but widely distorted by the 43-day government shutdown, despite some analysts claiming inflation may have peaked, at least for now. Excluding the volatile food and energy components, the so-called core CPE increased 2.6% after rising 3% in September. But given the city gaps, analysts warn that the November reading was unlikely to factor into the Fed's rate outlook, given that it was still affected by some lingering disruptions from the government shutdown. Federal Reserve Bank of New York President John Williams said on Friday that he did not see any imminent need to follow last week's interest rate cut with another easing. In fixed income markets, US Treasury yields rose in line with global bond yields on Friday, after the Bank of Japan raised interest rates. The yield on benchmark US 10-year notes rose to 4.145%, while the 30-year bond yield rose to 4.827%, and the 2-year yield, which typically moves in step with interest rate expectations for the Federal Reserve, rose to 3.486%. This, despite traders still betting on at least 2 25-basis-point interest rate cuts next year from the Federal Reserve, while assigning a 20% chance to the first reduction as early as January. In currencies, investors weirdly sold the yen once the Bank of Japan delivered its highly anticipated rate hike, driving some profit-taking and taking the currency to levels where traders say officials may consider intervention to support it. Japan's 10-year government bond yield hit a 26-year peak. The Nikkei closed up 1%. Against the Japanese yen, the dollar strengthened 1.38% to 157.73. Japanese move to higher yields is problematic, as its artificially low yields have been used as a source of funding carry trades to the tune of trillions of dollars, a strategy that may cause problems as it becomes more expensive. Higher long-term yields typically reflect inflation expectations, but this time it may also reflect the record high global debt levels, requiring high yields to compete for refinancing demands. The US dollar index, which measures the greenback against a basket of currencies, including the yen and the euro, rose 0.27% to 98.72, while the euro fell just a little to 1.1710. In energy markets, oil prices settled higher on the prospect of supply disruption from a US blockade of Venezuelan tankers and potential information on Russia Ukraine's peace deal, as well as the various interest rate decisions from central banks. US crude settled up 0.91% to $56.55 a barrel, and Brent settled at $60.55 a barrel, up 1.09%. In precious metals, silver soared to a record high, bolstered by investment demand and supply tightness, while gold saw another weekly gain buoyed by bets on Federal Reserve interest rate cuts. US equities saw inflows of around $78 billion in the week ended 17th of December, according to Bank of America. That's the biggest weekly inflow since a record $82.2 billion a year ago. Tech contributed to inflows for the first time in 3 weeks. Now, Goldman Sachs expects the global equity bull market to broaden further in 2026, with returns spreading beyond US technology stocks as earnings growth continues across regions. Strategies led by Peter Oppenheimer forecast around 30% price returns for global equities in 2026, rising to about 15%, including dividends, largely driven by earnings rather than valuation expansion. I guess we'll see. 2026 is shaping up as a lower inflation, lower yield environment, while investors continue to position for stronger growth, Bank of America strategist Michael Harnett said in the note. Harnett says investors are broadly positioned for a run-it-hot scenario, with PMI and earnings acceleration driven by rate cuts, tariff cuts, and tax cuts, while Bank of America's base case sees global EPS growth around 9% in 2026, Harnett cautions this outcome is unlikely to surprise to the upside, given rising US unemployment and bond vigilantes slowing the AI capex boom, unless we get a big surprise China stimulus. He believes that inflation and yields are more likely to fall than rise, and strategists see a positive first half of 2026 surprise coming from CPI trending upwards towards 2% and the US 10-year yield falling towards 3.5%. Meanwhile, global liquidity is peaking with fewer rate cuts than markets expect and the Bank of Japan moving towards its highest policy rates since 1995. Against that backdrop, Harnett says the team is not chasing consensus risk on trades, preferring to express the lower inflation view through a long zero coupon bonds, mid-cap equities, emerging markets, and natural resources. European stocks closed Friday's session mostly in positive territory, posting healthy weekly gains despite a number of significant central bank policy meetings. The DAX index in Germany climbed 0.4%, the CAC 40 in France was flat, and the FTSE 100 in the UK climbed 0.6%. On a weekly basis, the DAX gained around 0.5%, while the CAC 40 and the FTSE increased by over 1% and 2% respectively. The European Central Bank maintained its key interest rate at 2% as widely expected, but upgraded its outlook for economic growth in the Eurozone, saying it now expects growth of up to 1.4% in 2025 and 1.2% in 2026. The economy has been resilient. It grew by 0.3% in the third quarter, mainly reflecting stronger consumption investment, the ECB President Christine Lagarde said at Thursday's press conference. Deutsche Bank's main takeaway is that while the headline message was one of stability, the updated forecasts and the tone of the macro discussion point to a less dovish underlying bias. Lagarde, by the way, did not dwell on the fact that headline inflation is expected to undershoot 2% for two consecutive years. Still, sentiment among German consumers is set to fall significantly heading into 2026. That's according to data released on Friday. The Consumer Sentiment Index published by GfK Market Research Institute and Nuremberg Institute of Market Decisions fell to minus 26.9 points in January from a slightly downward revised minus 23.4 points. And investors also digest in the news that the European Union leaders have approved an aid package of 90 billion euros over the next 2 years to fund Ukraine's defence, agreeing to borrow the money rather than using frozen Russian assets. EU governments have been debating whether to use the 210 billion euros of frozen Russian assets, most of it held in Belgium, to support a so-called reparations loan for Ukraine. But in the end, leaders agreed to raise money through joint borrowing backed by the EU budget. And the central banks in Sweden and Norway also held policy setting meetings this week and both decided to keep interest rates unchanged, both as expected. The Bank of England cut interest rates, though, on Thursday, as widely expected again, but uncertainty remains over the UK central bank's next move, as several Bank of England decision makers highlighted concerns over persistent high wage growth expectations and structural inflation pressures, even as a drop in retail sales in November highlighted a lack of consumer confidence, dropping by 0.1% on the month. That's according to data released by the Office of National Statistics on Friday. This continues the weakness after October's 0.9% slump, which was revised from a previously recorded drop of 1.1%. Economists had predicted retail sales would rise by 0.3% on a monthly basis. In the corporate sector, travel retailer WH Smith reported a fall in full-year earnings and cut its headline profit forecast for the year ahead after weaker trading profit offset revenue gains. Elsewhere, the shares of German sportswear retailer Adidas and Puma fell after US peer Nike reported disappointing sales figures out of China, seeing gross margins drop for the second consecutive quarter. In UK financial news, shares of Metro Bank PLC and OSB Group PLC were boosted in the session on Friday after both UK lenders received regulatory approval to exit a debt regime that had cost them millions in annual interest expenses. The British pound found support at 1.3378 after the Bank of England released a statement that was less dovish than anticipated, with a split decision of 5-4 to cut the rates. Several Bank of England decision makers highlighted concerns over persistently high wages growth expectations and structural inflation pressures, providing some strength to the currency. ING analysts predict that wage expectations will likely decline in early 2026 as headline inflation continues to fall. In Asia, as already discussed, the Bank of Japan on Friday hiked interest rates by 25 basis points, as expected, and said that it was prepared to raise rates further if economic conditions improved and inflation remained heady. The Bank of Japan raised its short-term benchmark interest rate to 0.75% from 0.5%, putting the rate at its highest level since 1995. The hike is the Bank of Japan's second such move after a 25 basis point hike back in January. Friday's decision was also unanimously approved by the Bank of Japan's rate-setting board. The Bank of Japan said it expects Japanese firms to continue to raise wages steadily in 2026, while corporate profits are also expected to improve. Coupled with expectations for a tight labour market, the Bank of Japan said it was highly likely that wages and inflation would increase moderately. Still, the central bank noted that real interest rates still remain significantly negative and that financial conditions remained broadly accommodative to support the Japanese economy. The Bank of Japan said that given the real interest rates were at low levels, it was prepared to raise interest rates and scale back monetary accommodation further if the Japanese economy improved in line with its expectations. Japanese consumer price index inflation remained steady as expected in November, with underlying inflation cooling slightly but remaining well above the Bank of Japan's annual target. The print released on Friday came in just hours before the conclusion of that BOJ meeting. Headline CPI inflation fell to 2.9% year-on-year from 3% in the prior month, according to the government data. Core CPI inflation, which excludes volatile fresh food prices, remained steady at 3% as expected. Friday's data showed inflation remaining largely sticky, especially as growth in food prices showed few signs of slowing. Food has been a major driver of inflation this year amid rice supply shortages and increasingly expensive imports. The Bank of Japan sees core consumer price index inflation deaccelerating to below 2%, that's its annual target, through the first half of fiscal year 26, before picking up again later. The central bank also expects Japan's labour market to remain tight in the coming year. Japanese markets slightly trimmed their gains after the Bank of Japan's decision, but continue to outpace their regional peers on the day. The Nikkei 225, along with most Asian exchanges, though, still nursed steep losses across the week. Japan's Nikkei 225 index rose 1%, slightly trimming gains, but still leading gains across Asian markets, while the broader topics added 0.9% on Friday. Local markets benefited from a rebound in tech shares while also seeing some bargain buying after logging deep losses over the past week. The Nikkei was nursing a 2.6% decline this week. Broader Asian markets advanced on Friday, benefiting from a recovery in heavyweight tech shares as investors bought back into the battered sector. South Korea's KOSPI added 0.8% on Friday, but was the worst performer in Asia this week, down nearly 4% on a wipeout in tech valuations. Hong Kong's Hang Seng rose 0.6% and was down 1.5% over the week. Indices with relatively smaller tech valuations clocked smaller losses. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices rose 0.6% apiece on Friday and traded flat for the week. India's Nifty 50 index rose 0.58%, but was trading down 0.9% across the week amid renewed concerns over slowing growth in the Indian economy. The Australian share market rose on Friday, in line with Wall Street, on revived expectations that the US Federal Reserve will cut interest rates further. The ASX 200 closed 0.5% higher to 8,628, with 8 of 11 sectors in positive territory. For the week, the benchmark fell 0.8%, snapping a three-week winning streak. The index was on track to post a 5.8% annual rise. That's well below the double-digit gains for the US and European indices. On the ASX, technology led gains with Zip, Megaport, and Novonics rising more than 3%. WiseTech Global rallied 3.2% to $7.18 after a board review into Executive Chairman Richard White found no further issues to investigate. Technology One was at $28.35. The major banks also had a good session, led by Commonwealth Bank at 1.8% to $157.75, Westpac added 1.3% to $38.76. National Australia Bank gained 0.8% to $42.14, and ANZ closed flat at $36.03 after being hit with a bigger charge from ASIC in penalties for widespread misconduct and systemic risk failures of $250 million, relating to a number of conduct matters, including charging fees to dead people and imposing higher costs on government for funding. This outcome sends a clear message to ANZ that it needs to do better by its customers and to all banks that the cost of breaking the law is not an acceptable cost of doing business, the ASIC's deputy chair said. Bendigo and Adelaide Bank fell 1.72% over the week as the AML issues continue, though Macquarie managed to gain 1.5% on Friday to $200.58, despite copping a $35 million fine after admitting that it misrepresented millions in short securities sales over 15 years. DroneShield was a top index performer, closing 12% higher at $2.78. The counter-drone tech firm surged 31% over the week. In the resource sector, uranium miners rebounded from heavy selling in the prior session. Boss Energy bounced 11.4% to $1.315, having collapsed 25% on Thursday after downgrade to its Honeymoon project. Paladin Energy soared 9.3% to $9.09, and Deep Yellow rallied 8.8% to $1.80. However, lower iron ore prices weighed on the big miners. Fortescue was among the biggest laggards on the index, down 3.2% to $21.88. BHP dropped 1.2% to $44.36, and Rio Tinto edged up 0.1% to $143.07. In company news, 4D Medical soared 21% to $3.51, as the business secured a commercial agreement with the Cleveland Clinic to deploy a respiratory imaging technology. Net wealth, though, tumbled 6.5% to $25.25 after it agreed on Thursday to pay $101 million to compensate superannuation customers who invested in First Guardian. The financial services group has shaved off 11% this year. Austell advanced 5.8% to $6.60, the biggest one-day gain in 3 months, as the shipbuilders secured a contract extension to build two additional patrol boats for the Australian Border Force in a deal valued at more than $105 million. Shares have more than doubled this year. And Aussie Broadband fell 1.4% to $4.79 after warning the competition regulator's new voice interconnection rates would cut earnings from its wholesale networks. The Aussie was at 66.11 US cents and 49.4 UK pence, while the 2-year stood at 4.046 and the 10-year was at 4.798%, cementing expectations of the next RBA move to be up, not down. In crypto, we saw more volatility in Bitcoin, down more than 2% over the week in volatile trading, as Wales played the markets. It was last at 88,233 US. Other coins had similar gyrations. Next Tuesday in my live show, I'll be discussing the latest in crypto with Adam Stokes, but with a special focus on stable coins, which is perhaps the most consequential but ill-understood factor of the year following the US Genius Act. Elsewhere, Michael Saylor's strategy could soon be dropped from MSCI and potentially other major stock indices, which analysts say could cost the Bitcoin hoarding giant up to $9 billion in demand for its shares and hurt the wider appeal of the sector. After queries from clients, MSCI in October proposed ditching from its global benchmark companies whose digital asset holdings represented 50% or more of the total assets. It says they resemble investment funds, which it does not include in its benchmark. But many such firms argue that they are operational companies developing novel products, and that MSCI's proposals unfairly discriminate against crypto. Shares in Strategy, which began life as software firm MicroStrategy, rocketed 3,000% after it began buying Bitcoin back in 2020, although they have since fallen sharply and are down about 43% across the year amid cryptocurrency slump. Dozens more companies have been inspired to buy and hold crypto tokens on their own balance sheets in the hope that they will gain value, although questions are growing over the sustainability of those businesses. MSCI is holding a public consultation and will announce a decision by January the 15th. Analysts say that if it excludes digital asset treasury or DAT companies, other index providers could follow. Passive asset managers are estimated to hold as much as 30% of large cap companies free float, meaning exclusion could trigger significant outflows. That's especially problematic for the DAT industry, since many companies fund their token purchases by selling stock. As of September, at least 200 DATs had a combined capitalization of around $150 billion. That's up more than threefold from a year earlier. And as crypto prices have dropped, some companies have traded below the net asset value of their tokens. Now, next week is expected to be quiet in trading terms, and the focus will be on Tuesday, when the RBA will release its minutes from its latest meeting, and early on Wednesday, when the US will release third quarter GDP data. Otherwise, central banks and government's desk offices are entering the end of year quiet period. As for markets, the ASX will close early on December the 24th, and it will be closed on December 25th and December the 26th. In the US, the S&P 500 will close early on its December 24 and be closed on December the 25th, but trading will resume there on December the 26th. But I think we should expect more volatility into next year as the market trends play out. For a longer-term perspective on mega trends in the market, check out my recent post with Damien Klassen, and have a safe and peaceful holiday season. And yes, we will be back with more shows to keep you up to date with the markets. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching. And I'll see you again next time.